my God, let me tell you, David. So on the way down to San Diego, I called my dad. And I just needed to check in with him.
How'd it go?
It was great. And I was telling him, so I met Nikki Sixx, and I was telling him about this. Right? And
she like loved you.
He did.
I'm sorry.
Oh, this is going to be a great interview.
Motley Crue. So we were, and he was sharing this anecdote about how he's got this pretty bad shoulder and back pain because he's been smashing guitars his whole life on stage. And his doctors and chiropractor back in the 80s was like, you should probably saw the neck of your guitar before you do that. He's like, I'm a fucking rock star. It's fine. I'm going to do this.
Nikki.
Right. And now that he's in his 50s, he's like, I wish I had saw the neck of those guitars.
Oh, my God.
So I've shared this story with my dad because I was like, what world is this? I can't believe I'm here. I just, you know, who am I to talk to Nikki fucking Sixx, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh yeah, you want some shoulder pain, you want back pain, try chopping wood your whole life.
And my dad's
like, you should have told him that. I was like, yeah, dad, because that anecdote was in my repertoire of things to say to a fucking rock star. Like,
dads are great for that. Dads are great.
He seems
to bring
like a good
down.
Networker your dad. Oh, guitars? That's funny. Have you ever chopped wood?
Right.
Your neighbors wouldn't let you build a sound studio? Try using food stamps when you're raising kids. Oh, that's my dad.
Tell me more about your rock and roll lifestyle.
Money ain't for nothing and your chicks for free. That ain't working. That's the way you do it.
Great.
So your Cheerios smell good.
I know. I'm done.
Oh, those are your Cheerios? I thought that was your cologne. I was going to say.
Yeah. I put small honey.
A little bit of honey.
Here and here. Why do people put cologne here?
It's working.
Because there's a bloodline right there. And so
it enters your blood?
Yeah. I mean, it travels through your skin that way. So you get more
For broadcast
smell.
Purposes, yeah. We're talking about the inside of the wrist where one would commit suicide and also put cologne.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Both. Yeah.
That is why they do that there.
Multi-purpose. Wow.
So Esteban Gast is in the studio. And hi. Esteban is just an old dear friend. Not old, but a long time dear friend.
This is a great guest and a great backstory. Please. Yes. Yeah. What's the backstory between you and Esteban?
So Esteban and I used to perform. We met performing improv together in Champaign, Illinois.
Champaign.
And a group
Comedy
called
Center of Central Illinois.
Yes. And the group was called the Abe Froman Project. Shout out.
Abe Froman Project.
If you ever go through Champaign, the group is fantastic. I mean, they really are very good.
They're still there? It's still happening?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like a Groundlings thing.
Self-made.
Yeah.
The shows are free.
Yeah, but people come in and out.
Yeah, it's an ongoing show.
Totally.
Yeah, that's
there
great.
There are comics that are now in Boston that are doing really well, doing some great things in Boston, up in Chicago.
That's great.
So.
Yeah. It's a surprising, like the shows and the quality of shows, not even in Abe Froman, but also stand-up in Champaign, is absurd.
Yeah.
It's really, I lived in Chicago and Champaign, yeah, and everywhere, I don't know, traveled a good amount doing stand-up, and you're like, huh. Like,
one of my favorite things about improv is remembering one of those improvs that just is memorable. Do you two have one that off the top of your head, there was a time you were doing a show and when an improv just took on a life of its own and you still remember like that was just a great improv?
That's so good.
There's a lot of those.
See, I
the
mean,
thing is like when you do improv, when it goes really well, you get stage amnesia. And when it goes bad, you remember every second.
That's
of
true.
That awkward.
True.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good when you forget and people were like, that was awesome. And you're like, what did I say?
Yeah.
I blacked out. I just.
I've been able to overcome that and because it's the reverse for me. And I think it has to do with my ego, you know, because anything that might be remotely good, I right there in the front of the line. Of memories for me.
Know.
Yeah, I don't know. But
so what's
I mean, the ego in me is like, what did I say? Say it back to me. Yeah. And tell everyone. Oh, I said that. That is good.
Did you happen to get that on film?
Yeah.
So what's amazing about Esteban is that's how we met, is doing improv, but he's also a phenomenal stand-up comedian and has traveled all over the country. I mean, to be honest, Esteban is one of my inspirations.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if I'd say comedy mentor, but you definitely have pushed me to get better. So by watching Esteban, he's helped me get better. But he's gone on and somehow wound up in Panama filming a documentary for, is it True TV?
For Viceland.
Viceland.
Uh-huh. Like from Vice Magazine?
Yes. TV network.
I
run
really
by Spike Jones, Academy Award winner.
Oh,
isn't that nuts?
That's great.
It's super. Yeah. It's like
have
this.
You met him?
No, I've been on email chains, though. Oh, ooh. It's meeting of the internet.
Yes.
Well, I have his email.
Well deserved.
You know,
we're surprised at all of this, you know, enjoyable moments we get. You with Nikki Sixx and Spike Jonze. But, you know, you deserve it. I'm sure you've worked hard.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's part of the journey of hard work.
Part of the journey.
What's going on with the documentary?
Yeah. Well, what's nuts is I was touring as a stand-up. And like doing colleges, and I was so burnt out. So this opportunity in Panama came, and I was burnt out, and I was like going through things, and I was like, yes, I'm gonna go to Panama, go there for a year, and the year ends in a few months. Go there for a year, and just like get away from it all. And I was there,
get away from it all. In the middle of the jungle.
In the middle, it's in the middle of the jungle. It's like an off the grid community.
So it's not the main city or the
It's 2 hours away from the city. Yeah.
Oh. How many batteries did they have to take for all those cameras?
I know. Well, they built $75,000 of solar power because we're sustainables. We're like a sustainable community.
Oh, shit.
It's insane. Wow. It was an insane. So I get down there, and then they had mentioned, because it's this super cool community. It's a ton of young people in the jungle. And they're like, oh, you know, there's always been TV interest. So I'm present. They're like, oh, you're someone who this could actually be good for. So we kind of start negotiations, and we work with Andy Timoner. She's won Sundance twice.
Wow.
She's a really talented filmmaker. So she was like, okay, I'm going to come down.
What's the log line? What is the show?
So they follow us living 10 weeks of us living off the grid in this community.
Naked?
Jesus.
I wish. Naked.
No, okay.
And it's 10 weeks, and it's during rainy season, so it's brutal. So we're living outside. It's like basically nonstop thunderstorms. And then we get 80 students, so 80 college-age kids. So it's very, it's like very sophisticated, intellectual, real world.
And it's been going on for years and years and years. Is this an immersion program kind of thing?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's been going on for a while. So we have, we have like these open air living spaces, et cetera. But it was nuts because we have 40 staff members. We have 80 college students there for like the study abroad, you know, that we're offering. Mm-hmm. It's the rainy season. So it's thunderstorming every day.
Wow.
And then I'm waking up and putting on a lapel mic. And then there's just three cameras following me, like in the rain. It was insane. The stuff that they did was insane.
Are you aware of the cameras at this point?
Well, yeah, me 100%. I feel like there's, you know, some of our students who are 19 or 20 and like love, you know, Vice Center love the sort of drama.
Uh-huh.
I think they were aware in a way that they're like, I'm just gonna be me.
And is there like
and
one?
I'm like, I'm gonna be like the best version of me, so people watch it and go, you know, and they go, hey, that guy is charismatic and kind.
Very
let's
wet.
Offer him, a, yeah, let's offer him another show. So yeah,
good
so,
thinking. I like the way this guy thinks.
Because there are people that are that I'm like, yes, you will be featured in the show. Because you're like an Omarosa type evil villain.
These 19 and 20 year olds?
Yeah, like I'm like
they're okay with being an Omarosa?
They're okay with being an Omarosa. I was like, you gotta play the long game. I was like, listen. Mm-hmm. But I mean that's the thing that that I'm also like, oh, I speak it.
What's the name of the immersion program? Like an official?
It's called Kaluyala. Kaluyala. It's an indigenous name that means strong, like strong mountain or strong land.
And students from all over the world come?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's super
great.
So they love it. So Vice loved it because it's 18 to 22 year olds from all over the world that are world travelers, that are do-gooders, because we talk about, you know, like that are pretty alternative because they're rejecting society to go in the jungle. So a lot of them, you know, they're like, listen, I'm tired, you know, of being on my phone. I'm going to go to the jungle and reconnect. And like, Vice loves that. So they're like, yeah, look into the camera. So, you know.
Is there any technology? Like, can they listen to music? Do they make okay.
Yeah. Okay. So So they can. There just is very, very little internet. We just give them basic internet. And that's it. There's nothing really else.
I'm sure, because you don't see, you know, in Facebook Messenger, when you see the little green dot, you're like, oh, that guy's on.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you see Esteban on chats. When you do, I'm sure you just get flooded. They're like, hi, Esteban, you're online. Oh, my God, I can't wait. Yeah.
I know.
I'm sure it's intense.
I check my email like once every 2 days, which is not a lot for someone who should check it more.
I don't know how you do it.
My stomach just every time drops. I'm just like, or yeah, on Facebook, I'm just like, there's so many people.
Dopamine hit, man. It's dopamine when you check in that email. Who's looking? Who's watching? What's up?
And now that I'm in, it's funny because now that I'm in like Wi-Fi signal or cell signal, I'm so bad at checking because I'm not used to it. So I'm just excited. I'm like, ooh, someone texted me. I can respond right away. I'm just like, what a thrill. People are like, why are you stopping? And for every text, you're like, pull over, and you're like, ooh.
Well, I'm convinced in the next 10 years, they're going to take the umbilical cord and they're going to replace it with an antenna, and we're going to be connected anyway, so it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll be a time where it just is mental, and I'm just like, oh, hey, Dave.
Wi-Fi. Interesting. That's crazy.
It's the future.
So you've brought some songs with you.
I did.
Your shuffle mix.
I did. This is probably the one that has the most stories. So wonderful.
It's wonderful. Let's enjoy it.
Blue jean baby, LA lady.
It's so good.
It's really good. Why is it? Why did you pick it? Talk about it.
Pretty eyes. Pirate smile.
Should I stop it?
Just turn it down a little bit.
Just listen. No, it's so growing up, my dad was a big Elton John fan. The Elton and Billy, that's all we played.
Piano Man. Piano Man.
Oh my gosh. So, yes, I really liked it. And I remember this song like coming on and it just like, it was very familial. Like I think of family.
Where'd you live?
I grew up in Puerto Rico and then we moved to Chicagoland.
How old?
When I was like 7 years old.
To Chicagoland.
Yeah. Okay. To outside Chicago.
The first time you heard this was in Puerto Rico?
You know, I think when I think about the song, we're in our house in Chicago or Naperville, suburb.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then here's where the story gets dark and then redemption.
So
I loved it and I always thought it was like very, very beautiful. And then I was married. And then a little after that, divorced. That's usually the order of events that happens.
Typically.
You're not alone, buddy. High five.
Hey, how are you?
Annulment. Annulment. High five. Yeah, I got annulled.
Just three sad, lonely people.
I know.
No, so we, at the end of the ceremony, when they're like, you are, you know, now introducing husband
Mr. and Mrs.
Mr.
Yeah.
and Mrs. And then for now is what he was. Now introducing. now introducing Mr. and Mrs. Our friends who were musicians and were playing music started playing this. And then I asked like all my groomsmen to like sing. So I remember it being, remember thinking in this moment, I was like, this is the happiest I will. Like, this has to be the happiest moment of my life. I just got married and people are singing. We're like walking down the island, people are singing Tiny Dancer. And I was like, this will be the happiest I will ever be. And it's still like,
Were you that happy?
Yeah, you know, I think in the moment, absolutely.
There's like a moment when you get married where you're like, I'm supposed to be really happy, but you're like, I'm stressed and people are looking at me and I just want to cry. Like that was my.
It happened at the Little White Chapel in Vegas. I had like a Britney Spears style thing where we went to Vegas and got married on a whim. And just the, even though it was the Little White Chapel.
Yeah.
It was a very deeply emotional feeling I'll never forget. And
yeah.
I don't think we need to check it if things don't work out.
I think regardless of how that relationship ended, and it probably helps that we're on good terms. And,
of course, you know, why not?
But I think regardless, it just is like to be there and have this like silly experience and everyone I love around me and singing and like buying into this sort of silliness instead of walking out on like a church hymn. Walking out on Tiny Dancer. You know,
that happened that way.
You had a serious Love Actually moment.
Mm. It was, yeah.
That's exactly what, you know, in the movie where they get married and then on their way down the aisle, these people just start surprise doing the horns for the Beatles.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh my gosh.
And they start laughing and crying. And I was like, I don't know what I think I would just cry. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
But I just.
Yeah, this was our little Love Actually moment.
And when you hear it, do you still, is it a fond memory song?
Yeah, good, definitely. Good, definitely. Good. Totally. So then I remember. Kind of like what you were saying with your example, that I like the first few times I played it, I was like, oh, Maria, you know, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to reclaim this song. I was like, I like it. And it was my father played it. Like, I like this. So it's still, yeah, it's one of my favorite songs. And
wonderful.
And it's been there through a lot. Been there through childhood, been there through marriage, been there through, like, the painful part of separation, divorce, where you're like, this just reminds me of them. And then you're like, no one takes Elton away from me.
Right? No.
No one.
What does your dad do?
He is a professor, or he was a professor. My parents just did, they retired and they just did the Peace Corps.
Oh, God.
In Mozambique.
What?
Mozambique.
In Mozambique, Africa.
Wow.
What are their names?
Are they still there?
Lewis and Marissa.
Lewis and Marissa.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And they're still there?
They just ended a few months ago. They were there for 2 years. They were retired and then they were bored, which they were just like, we have a lot of energy, and they kind of applied for some stuff here and there. We're like, hey, they were both professors for a little. Hey, we used to be professors. Can we come profess? And people, this is the year. People were like, no, you're old. They're like, you're 60, you know, six. You can't. So they were like, okay, well, we're going to go somewhere that wants us. So they did Peace Corps. They're awesome.
Wow.
That's great.
They're very cool.
Do you think that the reason you want to do college tours is partially because your parents were so involved?
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah. I think there's a few reasons. From the money is good.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
College money, yeah.
So being like, oh, I'm going to build out as much as I can. You know, yeah. Like, I'm going to do as many colleges as I can to... I think they get a bad rap, like the shows I've done. I mean, sometimes they're like in unions, you know, student unions, and no one is there, like a cafeteria. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they're like in fun theaters or their cafe nights, and the kids are super awesome and receptive. And I can be, you know, it's also not super PC. Like, I can do my jokes and not worry. Like, no one has ever said anything. Not that I'm dirty or, you know, I'm not
right.
Super blue. But yeah, so I think... That to even some of the fun rooms in Chicago, even really good rooms in Chicago that I like, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I go to Texas State, perform in like a little theater in their campus with 100 people, and they all laugh and they all, you
and
know,
it's,
like,
you're like, they're so welcoming and
yeah,
warm
they're
and,
so, yeah.
Great.
And I have
they just
like,
want to laugh.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then they pay me a lot of money.
That's amazing.
You know, like.
He did this amazing tour. It was so random. I got a chance to catch him do the show in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, in Portland.
It was just by happenstance that it worked out this way. And it's called, Cometry?
Cometry, yeah.
Cometry.
So uh-huh. It was like him and another guy, and they would do all these schools. And he was like a...
He's a poet. So it was comedy and poetry.
Yeah. Cometry.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we go back and forth. It's super. It's great.
It was kind of like a 3 or 4 act deal. So it was like Esteban would open up and warm up the crowd, and then this guy would come out and do poetry. And it was all so artistic and thought-provoking and tore out your heart, but then you'd laugh, and you're like, I'm going through the gambit of emotions. What's happening here? I mean, it really was...
Cometry is awesome.
It was very cool.
Is it
still a thing?
It is still a thing. I just did some shows in Boston like a month ago or something
like
that.
Did you say the name of the poet?
His name is Iggy Mawella.
How'd you meet him?
We have the same agent.
Oh, it's that works.
It's such a, people, yeah, because the show's like.
Abbott, Costello, get over here.
Hey, you two. It's so funny because the show is like emotional and we're like both friendly and gregarious. So people are like, oh my gosh, how'd you meet? Is it amazing? Like you ran into each other and you're like, we have to work together. And we both are like, get a little bashful and we're like, our agent.
Broadway Danny Rose put us together.
I'm surprised all that time on the road together, you never came up with a better story.
I know. Well, I can give you lots of fake stories, but I want to be real. I want to be real. Yeah. No, but that's,
it's
which
like
is so.
Bing Crosby and Bob Hope stories. Like, you two schmucks, come on, get out there. I want to see that show.
Working together. Yeah. Totally, because college is like something that's a little more unique, and they like the gambit of emotions. Yeah. They like laugh till you cry and laugh, you know, and cry till you cry. Just cry.
Yeah. And no homework, no studying. Just have this experience. I mean, that's why schools do bring in people like yourself, artists and comedians, because, I mean, it's not going to be worth it to have all this education and all of this potential and not be able to laugh your fucking ass off. That's a vital component of life. Vital, man.
Totally.
So good for you. And I love the poetry angle. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a good show. Because sometimes, that show would have been different if I just did an hour.
Yeah.
It would have been okay. But what is really good is to, yeah, is to do 15 minutes that are rock solid, and then people, like almost have a break from the laughter, and they get into it, you know, and they hear two poems and they're thinking about it, and then we come back, and yeah.
I can't wait to see it. I really would love to. Are you going to be doing it in L.A. anytime soon?
I don't know if we've done Northern California.
Oh, Maggie will let me know.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. What's the next jammy jam?
All right, let's do it. So this is a song I listen to all the time now. It's by Head and the Heart. It's called Down in the Valley.
Wish I was a slave to an age-old trade.
That's nice. Yeah,
like riding around on rail cars and working long days. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rowdy ways. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rowdy ways.
How'd you find these guys?
So I saw them in college in this tiny space. It was one of my friends who's just really wonderful at finding music. I was like, these guys are going to be big. and I went and I loved them. And then it just is such a nice sound. Mm. And then so what we call where I live in Panama, the jungle, we always call it the valley just because it is a valley. So everything is just like, hey, the valley winner, you head of the valley winner. So one day, yeah, so I think someone played it and I was like, oh, I love these guys. I saw they're called the Head and the Heart. And I was like, I saw them like 10, I mean, so super long ago when it was like, you know, 80 people in this tiny venue. And they're doing super well. Like they have, I didn't even follow their career, but I, you know, looked them up. I was like, oh my God, they're so good. And they have Grammys. And, you know, like,
wow,
I was like, these guys made it. So I'm going through their songs and all their songs are wonderful. And this one's called Down in the Valley. So this is like a good, like when I'm in the, this last year has been super nuts. I mean, I'm living, right? I was living in Chicago touring as like a speaker and stand up. And now I'm in a tent in the middle of the jungle. You know, like making sure that people are learning and having a good time.
Trust me, this last year, probably best place you could be. I wish I were in a tent in the jungle for the last year.
Oh my gosh, I know.
What was the college you went to again?
University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
Okay. Yeah. Was it a dorm you heard this song in?
Yeah. So they were, I think they were, I'm trying to think of the, it was like a tiny bar. It was like a bar where we used to do improv in or something like that.
Which one was it? Do you know?
It was in on campus.
I think, say Cams.
It was an on campus.
Yeah, it was on campus. I think it was like a Illini. You know, like there's like a or one of those. Like
White
there's
Horse
a small
like,
stage. Yeah, White Horse. It's like a small stage, and when there's 50 people, the room is packed. They're like packed.
Yeah.
So there was like 50 people or something like that.
And who was your roommate in college at that time?
My roommate was Jack Roberts.
What was he like?
He's awesome. He was I haven't talked to him maybe since we were roommates.
No kidding.
But we were like best friends in high school and we lived together and then we just like went our separate ways, but we still like loved each other. You know,
sure,
like we were still
course.
Good friends.
Of course.
And then, yeah, but we just like went our separate ways. So this is great. I put on this song like at night and then it's like a good, you know, going to sleep song where you just sit there and you're like, emotions.
Yes. Yeah.
The day.
Bring it.
One day closer to our deaths.
Exact.
That's what I think every day. Every night. Just go
who
to sleep.
Doesn't?
Bring down the
just,
room.
Can we be honest? Who doesn't? I mean, it's going to end, right?
It's going to end. So this was a cool rediscovering and then being like, and what I've done now is like look up all the songs with the word valley in it. Like I'm like, ooh.
There you go.
I want to feel emotions. I want people to. It's so funny.
What did you study?
I studied sociology.
Yeah.
And then me too.
Yeah, whatever. And then I got a master's in political science, like a focus on educational policy.
Oh, wow. Does that play into your comedy?
Not as much. No.
Two congressmen walk in a bar.
Yeah. And then together they screw the middle class.
Yeah. A lot of comics, a lot of performers. I have a law degree.
Totally.
Do you do law? No. I have a poli sci degree.
Yeah, that is true.
I think it's great, though. I mean, that's great.
I can
foundation.
Think of a couple. That's true.
Yeah. There's, didn't Dimitri Martin, I think, like went to Harvard Law.
I think so too.
Greg Giraldo, RIP, went to Harvard or Columbia Law or something like that. I think I use the sociology side more in comedy because that's what I mean. Well, that's what comedy is saying. Hey, look at this, you know, silly thing that we do and we don't think about. Mm-hmm. Look at how absurd it is. Or look at this funny exchange that happened and what that, like, how often does this happen?
I'm not sure who hit me to this. It might have been Dave Cross. I was in a comedy group with David and learned so much from him and people like Janine Garofalo and Mark Maron, just smart, smart comics.
Yeah.
And they talked about how comedy went from the comedian sort of being self-effacing and the joke was about the comic sort of relating to these oddities into a sort of aimed at the audience type comedy. Like, you know, what do you do for a living? That sucks kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you have to kind of balance that out pretty much for yourself sociologically.
That is really interesting to think about. Okay, well,
who's the butt of the joke?
Who's the butt of the joke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if it's totally, and maybe that's something, speaking of, you know, doing a lot of colleges, it's, I think I'm aware more about that and saying, oh, well, let me, or like society, like these unsaid norms be the butt of the joke and never,
right?
Yeah, this nice 18-year-old freshman from Kansas be like, I just want to laugh. Like,
exactly.
Like, I'm going to leave her out of this.
That's the important part that sometimes gets missed. Can you just make me laugh and not feel bad about that?
Yeah. Totally. I'm going to leave her out of this and make fun of me.
Crazy.
And
then,
so that's Down in the Valley. Head in the Heart. They're awesome. Head in the Heart in terms of like folky roots Americana.
I liked it. It really hit me. Yeah, I really liked it. First time I heard it.
All right, let's do
number three.
This is, I have cannot stop listening to the song. It is.
You're an instrument guy.
I'm an instrument guy.
I can hear it.
Fourth quarter, babe. I'll hit the game winner.
I don't know who it is.
There's this band called Wolfpack.
Wolfpack. Wow.
Wolfpack. Wait, V-U-L-P-E. Wolfpack.
Like German for...
For Wolfpack, I think, right? I don't know.
All I can hear is Zach Galifianakis trying to make a really bad German accent.
Our name's Al Wolfpack.
Where are they from?
So they're, which is funny, they're a bunch of really talented American musicians.
Oh.
Who chose a name to confuse us. So they, one of their drummer is this guy, Theo Katzman, who's like a friend of a friend of a... He's funny because... I've like followed him for a while and I go, oh, my, you know, like my buddy Theo, he's playing this. And people are like, oh, that's so cool. You're his friend. Like, when's the last time you talked to him? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I was at a party with him in 2007.
I hear you, man. It's like, you got to drop those names and just hope it doesn't go any further.
That's, it's so, because he's a part of this. So I'll play stuff like that. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like my friend's band. And like, oh, my gosh, when's the last time you know, like.
Yeah. Don't ask me that.
And I'm like, oh.
Oh, God.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Game Winner.
Game Winner.
Mm-hmm. So, I just love the feel of it. I listen to it so much. It's like a good everything will be okay song. You know, like if you're stressed or you're driving somewhere. Like if you put this on in traffic, there's no way that you won't be like, yeah, everything's fine. Like there's a...
I'm going to get there when I get there.
Yeah, you like ease into your seat and you're like, all right. We're along for the ride.
We're doing this.
This is the first time, you know, we've met. First impressions say a lot, but so far these three songs, you just seem to have this this genuinely positive attitude. What do you attribute it to?
Thank you. You know, I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, I want to just justify, because I was once shot down when a person said to me, for the same similar reasons, it's like, you seem like you're blindly optimistic. And I was like, I had to check myself. Like, am I really happy? Am I really joyful most of the time? And I, luckily I think I am. And
yeah.
What's your story?
No, totally. You know, I think, I don't know. I think it's just a better way to live.
Yes. How easy enough.
It's funny that totally in the performer community, you almost have to defend against trying to be happy or trying to.
Yeah.
It's really, and I think that's, you know, my comedy and everything I try to do comes from, yeah, this place of like wonder and whimsy, because I think that's more fun. I think that should be the message. Like, yeah, I can be, you know, negative or dark, and I think a lot of like my humor is part of it. What's funny is maybe it's delivered in an uplifting way, but it's kind of dark, you know. Yep. Even like the, hey, one day closer to our deaths, everyone have a great day. Like,
again, I think there's so much to that, because it's like when you've lost that, wake up, open your eyes, look around and say, oh my god, this is pretty fucking weird and cool. You've lost it all.
Yeah.
And I have a sense that there are people that have lost that. They don't know that they've lost it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's going to be like this. You know, like, are you kidding me? Humans getting along? Come on, get real. You know, it's like,
but totally. It's,
yeah. I'm digging the vibe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Three for three. We used to get poked fun at. Do you remember? I remember one exchange where in our improv group, or in our, when we were doing stand up or something like that, you know, you were, Maggie came up. I remember this exchange so vividly. And she was like, hey, I have something super exciting to tell you. And I was like, oh my god, I can't wait. And then someone, right, this was like backstage at a comedy, or like, you know, with a bunch of comedians. And they go, god, I can't believe you guys actually interact that way.
I know.
And I was like, why? She's my friend and I'm excited, you know.
Yeah.
But usually it's like, oh my god, I have something exciting. It's like, oh, whatever. You know, like,
I had a student, you know, say to exciting me one time, like, he, you know, because I try to be, when I'm teaching, very sort of, you know, energized. And there are moments when I'm like so gleeful, I'm not even aware of it. And this kind of rebel kid sort of was like, do you always smile? Why are you always smiling? And it was just an interesting sort of moment. And I couldn't really justify it, because I didn't want to defend it necessarily. But
yeah, and you're also like, yeah, that's, oh,
I don't know how, yeah, I wish we could bottle it and sell it and make a lot of money.
It's like, I know.
Happy juice.
We'd make a killing.
Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from. I think my parents are great. I mean, yeah.
You have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have an older brother.
What's
Sebastian.
His name? Sebastian.
Sebastian and Esteban.
Look,
they're basically anagrams. You can scramble the letters and spell the other person's name, which
really
is confusing. There's an extra I and like an extra, but. Yeah, yeah, Sebastian.
It wasn't. Yes. It was planned, right? It wasn't like, holy crap, what we came up with?
My parents, yeah, just had those eight letters and they just threw them out on a board. And they're like, and his name is Nestabed. And they're like, I guess that's our third child. Just playing with.
That's
I love Scrabble.
But yeah, and I'm like, my life has been rough. You know, like, there are moments growing up recent, like everything, that I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you and. Yeah. We were talking, we're like, 1 year ago where we were is insane.
Right.
1 year, like,
yeah, we're not like avoiding the realities of how horrible and difficult life is, and the tears and the pain, but I am so grateful. And you know, Maggie and I met on the improv stage. In fact, we met improvising together at this audition. That's how we came to know each
that's
other.
That's incredible.
And you know, there is this sort of energy that you kind of pick up on people, and I'm almost reticent to even sort of claim it, you know, to some degree, because I don't want to ever lose it. I don't want to ever lose, like, this morning I'm driving to the gym and I'm actually kind of improvising a character and talking about some shit. My picture was in the paper this week, so I'm totally happy about it. And then I look over and there's this guy and his wife looking at me, and so I totally improv that I'm on like a speakerphone. Yeah, I'd call you later. You know, but I was just in a joyful moment speaking out loud. And real quick, this happened to me one time in Westwood. I was talking to myself and just in a joyful land, and for some reason I blurted out the word cheeseburger in front of a bunch of neighborhood kids. For the rest of the time I lived in Westwood on that street, the kids would go, Hamburger Man! Cheeseburger Man! Because I just so happened,
amazing,
in a moment of blissful joy, they heard me say, Cheeseburger. It's Cheeseburger Man!
I do that all the time.
Anytime
I need a laugh, I think about freshman year in college. I was sitting there with the girl I was seeing at the time, and I was like, I don't even know what I was doing, but I randomly said the word elves. And she was like,
crazy. This is what happens to happy people.
Because I'm just like sitting there going, I think I was like writing something. And I was like, elves. And I giggled. And so I was like, elves. And then this girl man is like, what? What are you? What? What? And I cracked up. And I just laughed. And anytime I just want to laugh or think about something, it's like my go-to funny moment is me sitting freshman year dorm. Again, everything was, and just being like, elves. And then looking at Natalie Jenkins, who's like, wait, what? Wait, what? Is that to me? Why are you?
Kids today be like, that's so random.
That's funny.
Oh, God. Love it, baby. Good vibes. Good energy.
Great, great, great.
Number four.
Number four.
Four, four.
Very echo. Yeah. This is I Am a Hamilton Head.
Oh, nice.
And this is,
I've yet to see it.
Me
this
too,
is cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my favorite song from Hamilton. It is.
Theodosia writes me a letter every day. I'm keeping her bed warm while her husband is away. He's on the British side in Georgia. He's trying to keep the colonies in line.
Well, he can. Wait, we should wait for that. So there's one more verse and then the chorus. The chorus is just blows you away.
Doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes and we keep loving anyway. We laugh and we cry and we break and we make our mistakes. And if there's a reason, I'm by her side. And so many have tried. Grandfather was a fire and brimstone preacher. But there are things that the homilies and hymns won't teach ya. My mother was a genius.
His name is Leslie Odom Jr.
About the character.
So Aaron Burr.
Okay.
The guy who...
Aaron Burr.
Death doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes and we keep living in. Standing still, lying by me.
Anywho,
that is the longest music break on Y-Tune Shuffle in the history of Y-Tune. But it's amazing and relevant, man, that this is happening simultaneously. What else is happening?
Yeah.
Who did you see it with?
I went with the girl I was seeing and one of my best friends in Chicago, nice. The Chicago production.
Wow.
Which, by the way, Wayne Brady is now playing this character in Chicago.
Wow.
Aaron Burr.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It's believable. It's great.
Sure,
it's Wayne, wow, that's unbelievably great.
So the show, as every single person who's seen it in every media outlet, is amazing.
Yeah.
But I love, the two main characters, you know, it's Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, and they're both orphaned, really young. And then,
which is true, right?
Which is true.
That's a true story.
All of it's unbelievable. Their actual real life interlaps are unbelievable. You when you see the show, it's I watched the show and I read the books and I followed Lin-Manuel Miranda since In the Heights, his first musical.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, so there's two competing philosophies, and then Hamilton, everyone, you know, he's an orphan and he goes, well, there's a song called I'm Not Throwing Away My Shot, and he goes, he has a sense of urgency. He's like, I need to do everything now because my parents have passed away. I need to do everything now because I might die. And Aaron Burr in this song called Wait For It is the other. He goes, if everyone around me has died and I'm still alive, there's a reason for that. And I'm willing to wait for it. So it's these two competing philosophies.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And this has been, I'm a really restless human. And I think, intentionally the last year going to Panama and then saying, okay, well, I'm putting a lot of these sort of dreams on hold to grow as a professional and to kind of chase other dreams, but a lot of these entertainment performer dreams on hold. And then and I think this song is just, it's like, oh, well, I'm willing to wait for it. Like there's this philosophy of like, that's okay that I haven't done stand-up. You know, that's okay that
this song is helping you.
Yes.
This music is helping
you. Totally.
That's it, baby.
Because, that's okay that I can go, you know, back to Chicago or Champaign or somewhere and people might be like, oh, yes. You know, or be like, hey, are you still doing stuff? Or it's the similar set because I haven't that is okay because Aaron Burr sees it more as this long game and Alexander Hamilton's like, yeah, Alexander Hamilton would not go to Panama. And there's parts of me that are very Alexander Hamilton. But it just is interesting.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
It's a big... It's
is
a
this our
changer.
First musical number?
Like, I think so.
Yeah, that's another Y-Tune Shuffle first.
That's
it's
awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Soundtrack.
Oh, my gosh.
Soundtrack.
I can't... Yeah, it's really good. And I think for performers and for creatives and for people who are ambitious, I mean, to see it, you just... There's so many parts that you're like, oh, my God, that's how I feel.
Uh-huh.
Where you're like, oh my God, that's like you perfectly put into words this feeling that I can't describe of, yeah.
That's why we love the music.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, just have to honor it at every turn. It's with us. It's our exhale and our inhale.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
What? It's our fucking. I'm sorry.
Beautiful. Let's put that on a t-shirt.
Yes. Bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Slam into me at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah. Check out ytunes.com/merch for everything mentioned in this show.
Wow.
Proceeds go to our two hosts seeing Hamilton because it's a lot of money.
Right.
I went when Chicago Cubs were in the World Series.
Oh, geez.
So I got super cheap tickets.
Nice.
Isn't that amazing?
Smart. That's
people
so
were
smart.
Selling. Because, yeah. So I was like, yes. It was a game in Chicago. I met up with a friend and she's like, oh, you haven't seen Hamilton? I was like, no, I don't have $400. And she's like, oh, it's like the Cubs are playing tonight. I bet they're cheap. And I was like, oh, my God. And just went up and bought tickets.
See, I'm afraid. I went to the Pantages, and I don't want to shit on the Pantages, but I saw a touring company of West Side Story. West Side Story was a quintessential, got me into show business musical. I'm sure, you know, many people love West Side Story. This was such a bad production. Maria was on this rolled out fire escape. And
during this
big scene, a couple of dancers bumped into it and she like stumbled. It was such a high school performance. I was so, and I was with a person I had just started dating and I was gave her this whole backstory about how West Side Story is just like everything. Yeah. So
that's so
I hope I see a good touring company.
Yes. The touring company is the guy who played Aaron Burr in Chicago is in the touring company.
Okay.
See, now that I like got into it, I was just like deep into it. I was like, who are these people?
Yeah.
And he's in the touring company and he's phenomenal.
It's its first year, really, first couple years. So it's going to be always
that's true.
Like, it's bumping. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not going to be like, and now Shakespeare's Taming a Shrew, 1,059,000.
Yeah, that's true. 10 years from now, the Hamilton production will have. Yeah.
And Mrs. Jones' third grade class will now. Wait for it!
Wait for it!
Woo! 4 for 4. One more.
This is one of my favorite songs by Carlos Vives. And it, I remember salsa dancing to this and going to Colombia.
Salsa.
And going to see Carlos Vives in concert. It was the most fun I've ever had at a concert. I've never seen people so happy. The chorus is so fun.
Puedo trabajar de sol a sol. Puedo subirme hasta el Himalaya o batirme con mi espada para no perder tu amor. Puedo ser tu fiel chofer, mujer, todo lo que te imaginas puedo ser. Y es que por tu amor volví a nacer. Tú fuiste la respiración y era tan grande la ilusión.
Oh, here we go.
Si te vas, ¿qué voy a hacer? Planchar de nuevo el corazón. Se pone triste esta canción. Quiero casarme contigo, quedarme a tu lado.
Just imagine 10,000 Latinos and Latinas just being like,
doing like the fist bump and he's dancing.
We're moving. I'm transfixed by the music, Esteban's dance moves.
I know a little bit of Spanish. This sounds really positive, like the truth about love and the ability to just be yourself. Is that what he's singing about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he just oh, I was like, should I play this song and bring this? And I was like, yes, of course.
It's your shuffle, man.
It's
part of it. Why did you bring it? Why did you ultimately choose to bring it? Story behind it.
Yeah, so I'm Colombian. My parents are Colombian.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually how that works.
But you were raised in Puerto Rico.
But I was raised in Puerto Rico. So yeah, so I think this has I think I go through ebbs and flows of feeling like my identity is Latino. You know, like so I spoke Spanish before I spoke English. I didn't speak English till I moved here. You know, so I was 7 or 8. And we spend a lot of time in Colombia, and I think I listen to this, and I like get so joyful, and it like just speaks to me at my bones,
uh-huh.
And I go, yeah, you know what? Like my name is Esteban.
It's access.
Yeah.
It's access. It's an avenue, definitely.
Yeah. And I go, oh, it like, yeah, it makes me feel like I'm not a fraud at time. You know, like I go, oh yeah, like. This is in these. Carlos Vives is he's like the Bruce Springsteen or something like that in Colombia.
Oh,
he
wow.
just has been famous for 25 years. Everyone loves him. He just is like this good guy, plays, you know, like the Super Bowl every 5 years. You know, like he's like a Bruce or someone like that. And it's super intergenerational. Like my parents love him, my uncle and aunts, and my cousins can, yeah.
So have you been to Bogota? Or anything?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I go almost every year. I went this past Christmas. So even then, like, this song has been around forever, and even then, in Christmas, they'll turn this song, and the chorus is so, like, yell, you know, yeah. like, you just can't want to yell. And there's, like, you know, 8-year-old cousins, 16-year-old who thinks they're too cool for school cousins, and, like, my 75-year-old uncle, and we're all sitting there singing this song. It's, like, the amount of times that this song, and a lot of Carlos songs, but specifically this one, which is one of his most famous, you know, this is, like, Born to Run or something like that. This is the Colombian Born to Run.
What's it called, actually? What's the title?
Volví a Nacer.
Yeah.
And it's I was reborn.
Okay.
Volví a Nacer is born, and Volví is like, I did it again.
Yeah, it's exactly born, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
So the amount of times this song is played, and you know, and you just have like this swell of emotion because you look around and you're
love
like,
the swell.
I'm in the mountains of Bogota, like, you know, and you go, oh yeah, this is where I'm from. This is home. This is family. I can be, yeah.
Muy bien.
Do you speak Spanish? Do your parents still speak Spanish?
Yeah. Oh, I only speak Spanish to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think I've liked it. I've listened to more Latin music. One, I think because I'm in Panama, but I think the other reason is because I had this beautiful apartment and beautiful wife and job, you know, like in these things. And then in
the
last
white picket fence, you tried those pants on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had the white. So nothing really feels like, you know, the whole time I've been in Panama, it feels temporary. And we were talking, I'll probably move here. And then, but my parents are still in Colombia and my brother's in Houston, you know, so I was like, so nothing feels like home too much and family's far away and thing. So I think I've listened to a lot more Latin music, especially music that like connects me to the
your
past
roots.
And
yeah.
My roots way, way more since my roots that I thought I was building kind of fell out. You know,
right,
I think
right.
I think that's the I go, okay, well, where what music makes me reminds me about who I am, what music reminds me of home and family. Like and I think that song is like one of the biggest examples of that.
That's our inspiration for this show, Maggie.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
I mean, it's absolutely. It really that we feel it. All of us feel it in a similar way and like this, you know, how all the songs that tell that remind us of stories and reconnect us. I mean, nailed it. Really cool.
It's such a cool concept for a show. It's such a great opportunity even for me to last night be like, what are songs I want to talk about or what are songs that I'm listening to?
Did you find it difficult to narrow it down?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I found it very difficult because I think there's a lot of.
So you'd want to come back and do it again.
Yeah, for a theme show or a live version.
We want to do a live version.
Really
so
love to
fun.
Do one. You know, an audience come up and then maybe like just a random hit, like a surprise. Oh, shit, this is the song that came up? That's so
I
weird.
Love because, it.
And do a round robin maybe.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's different things we're exploring. And as we continue to create the show together, Maggie and I, it's like just been so much fun. And everyone that comes in, it's like, we all have a connection. It's not like you're a guy that does this and I'm a guy that does that. Maggie's a person that does this. We all music. It's music.
Yeah.
You know? It's fuck.
Totally.
It's cool.
And even that's the thing that even if, that song is in Spanish or the two of you are like, oh, okay, it sounds kind of groovy.
Yeah.
But you can still be like, oh, God, I remember that song. That just makes me feel
like Buena Vista Social
Club
was one of the examples of how nobody gave a shit that they couldn't understand Spanish well enough. It was just like, whoa, give it to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chan-chan. Oh, my
And then
gosh.
You go to Thailand and you hear these torch song singers in the middle of a lounge at a hotel in Chiang Mai and they're singing, you know, like, you know, start spreading the news, you know, and I wonder if they understand the English, but it's just like the music is so powerful.
Yeah.
It just kind of translates cross-culturally. Beautiful thing.
It's awesome.
Time for David's favorite part.
This is my favorite part of the show.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know how I picked this up or whatever, but it was a conversation I had somewhere, someplace in the world with somebody, and I owe them huge for this. But Esteban.
Yes. Yes, sir.
What was your very first concert experience?
Oh. I remember this question.
He heard the promo.
I heard the promo. Oh, I took notes. My first concert experience was Blink 182.
I love it.
Blink 182 with my mom.
Again with the mother. We got to have a Mother's Day show.
I know.
People come in and talk
Blink
about
182.
That. Yeah. What's the mother's memory of it?
And then Blink 182, not good for moms.
No. They're not really good live either.
They
just talk a lot.
They talk a lot, and then they like say wildly inappropriate things that you have to like pretend not to know in front of your mom. I think it was like, I mean, it was early-ish high school. I know there were a few friends, but yeah, they'd like make jokes about blowjobs, and you're just like,
oh no.
This goes back.
At one point, they were like, everyone turn to the person next to you, and I was like, oh, and then they go, like, if they have a dick, put it in your mouth. And then they're like, down, 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 down. And I was like, oh. I was like, is there, could we keep brainstorming? Excuse me, Blink, Mr. 182, could we keep brainstorming?
I think this goes back to what we were just talking about, where you, especially in the Uber, and like a song comes on, you're like, oh, I'm uncomfortable for everyone. Let me just speak up and say, this is awkward for everyone in the room.
Meg and I drive Ubers, you know, to make extra money. We both do it. And I have my Y-Tune shuffle on. And like the other day, a family, little kid, and I was cruising down the block in my 6'4". You know, and I'm like, oh, I just, and that followed like a Frank Sinatra because my shit's all over the place.
That's
on,
good.
On my shuffle.
So I remember they like had something where the audience did that, and I was like, and then my mom was just sitting there like stone faced. It was amazing. It was fun. I mean, it was fun to like, you know, hear all the small things live, though.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
You're just like, okay.
It's a fond memory.
Have to like beg her to take you to that show? Or you're like, I really want to see Blink-182. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And then she, up until the show, thought she was like the cool mom. You know, like she was like, and she'd like tell her friends, she's like, you know, Blink-182, because they had the album, or they had a famous thing where they were like naked, and they just had, you know, I don't remember it was a music video where they ran around naked. That's it. So it was a music video.
I think that was All the Small Things.
Yeah.
I think so.
So she's like telling her friends, you know, like mom's brunch. She's like, oh my gosh, guess what I'm doing? I'm seeing Blink 182. And she's like, and then we get there.
That's cool.
And then all that happens. And like the drive home, it just is like quiet. And I was like,
I hope you're happy.
Let's never speak of this again.
And I was like, I remember trying to, because I miss you. It's like, don't take your eyes. And I was like, isn't that like a nice song? I was like, it's got like positive messages. I was like, isn't it positive, mom?
Because they talk about Jack and Sally. That's why you liked it.
Or I was like, I miss you. That's a nice sentiment, isn't it?
Love you, mom. Thanks.
It's also funny because I think there was like wildly inappropriate things, but she didn't like this line. Work sucks. I know. She's like, no. Work is very important. work it does not. Like, she was also trying to put in lessons.
Yep.
What was your papa don't preach? Didn't your mother say?
Yeah, I have a story similar to that. I loved Madonna. Like, for me, putting the stuffed animals on the couch and singing the entire Immaculate Collection to the stuffed animals into a spoon. Like, that was what I did. And Papa Don't Preach, there was just one, it was stuck in my head, and she's like, you know, you can like a song, but you don't have to practice what she's preaching.
Any opportunity parents have to like be like, oh, that reminds me, does work suck? No. Work is valuable in it. It's like, yeah, mom, it just is like a fun thing to yell.
Yeah.
Words suck.
Did you have a story like that, David?
I believe in miracles. Where you from? You sexy thing. My stepmother would come in and she would mime with her finger the turn it down motion, you know, every time, because that was an inappropriate song. She'd come in with her thumb and forefinger and sort of mime, turn it down. Turn it down.
Because of You Sexy Thing?
Yeah.
Sexy thing.
I believe in miracles. Yeah. It was like a very, I mean, I don't know why my stepmother had the Partridge Family album and stuff like that. So she was kind of sheltered, I guess. But she's Rolling Stones generation and Verge of Punk. And I'm like, God, you really missed a great opportunity.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the one. My mother was very radical, and she took my baby sister Barbara to go see Prince at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse.
Wow.
And Prince took a bath on stage. Yeah, I don't know if his, naked bath, but it was, my mother was a little bit blushy on that one, because I remember my little sister Babs was like, he took a bath on stage, and mom was there. We're upstate New York, so we, talk like from Chicago.
That's so embarrassing.
So my baby sister has that story.
Oh,
I was a latchkey kid. My parents said, just go to a concert, get the fuck out of the house.
Esteban, it's been so nice to have
you.
This
has been so wonderful.
Do you have anything coming up that you want to talk about, promote?
So the show comes out March 28th. It's called Jungle Town on Viceland. It is. I don't know what channel it is, but it's probably high up there. But also online, you can find it.
Jungle Land.
Jungle Town. I just watched the first episode and it is amazing.
Cool.
It was surreal to
see. Is the
theme
song going to be Welcome to the Jungle Town?
Welcome to the Jungle Town. We got 19-year-olds who are dramatic. And also that guy who's super camera aware. The editors are so funny. They're just like you like look at the camera and you're like, "All right. Hey everyone. Hey. Welcome."
I can't scroll.
And
cool.
I know you're not online right now, but you will be
yes.
again coming in April. So how do we find you?
Yeah.
If you want to follow your hilarious tweets.
Hilarious tweet. Yeah. I post. Even now I have scheduled to post some sketches and things like that I've made on my Facebook page, which I think is just Esteban Gast, G-A-S-T, last name. And then social media is Esteban Gast was taken, so it's the Esteban Gast, which I don't know where I'm like. I feel weird saying it out loud, so probably should change it. But that's the handle for everything, for Twitter, Insta.
The Esteban Gast?
Yeah.
G-E-S-T?
G-A-S-T.
G-A-S-T.
Yes, sir.
The Esteban Gast.
But yeah, but the big thing is the show.
Okay.
And then if you want to bring me to your college, that's also what I'm setting
he's
up.
He's available.
Yeah.
I
but
love that.
That's the thing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cometry. I'm ready for Cometry.
Yeah, Cometry.
And Truman? No.
Hamilton,
yeah.
Truman.
Truman.
I'm the older guy in the room.
I remember. Yeah, Cometry's made this. This has been so awesome. This has been
it
such
has
a
been.
Blast.
Thank
to
you.
Start the weekend and Saturday morning this way, this is incredible.
You're the
I'm
best.
Just like going to just be on clouds the rest of the day.
Oh
this is
God.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for sharing
Welcome
your music.
To our world. Thank you for being a part of it. Yeah.
Thank you so much.